Every day, children fall in the water by accident without proper supervision. In the U.S. and in Mexico, drowning is one of the leading causes of death for children 4 and under. Even children who are swimming in the pool with a parent present could get submerged underwater in a moment of inattention. What can parents do to keep their kids safe in the water? I'm Maria Bernal, certified ISR instructor, and today we're talking about water safety basics. This is Parent Savers Episode 50.
Faster than a speeding toddler.
Sit still for just a minute.
Can soothe boo-boos with a gentle kiss.
Would you get down from there?
Able to clean poopy bottoms in a single swipe.
Oh, what did you eat?
Turning frazzled mommies and daddies into procreators of peace and harmony.
Ah, quit touching me.
It's Parent Savers, empowering new parents everywhere.
Welcome, everybody, to Parent Savers. We're broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Parent Savers is your weekly online, on-the-go support group for parents of newborns, infants, and toddlers. I'm your host, John O'Reill, and I want to say thanks to all of our loyal listeners who've joined the Parent Savers Club. Our members get all of our archived episodes, bonus content after each new show, plus special giveaways and discounts. You can subscribe to our monthly Parent Savers newsletter for free for a chance to win a membership to our club each month. And another way that you can stay connected is by downloading our free Parent Savers app available in the Android and iTunes marketplace, and that gives you a chance to easily listen to all of our podcasts on the go. So as I said, my name's Johnner. I have three young boys, a six-year-old, a four-year-old, and a 21-month-old. It's to the point where I think I need to stop counting in months and say almost two-year-old. But I'm in the Three Boys Club, and I'm joined here by some other parent panelists as well as Maria.
Hi, I'm Shell. I'm 28. I own The Swaddled Sprout, a natural parenting resource in San Diego. I have two boys, a two-and-a-half-year-old and a 14-month-old.
Hi, my name is Amy Rinaldo. I am 34. I work part-time outside the home for a financial institution, and I have one daughter who's 17 months.
Hi, I'm Amy Askin, and I am the mother of three little mermaids, Olivia, who's 8, and Serene, who's 3, and Elle, who is newborn.
And Elle is in the studio with us today, so we may hear her chiming in as well from time to time. Maria, how about you?
I have a 22-month-old. He's going to turn 2 in June.
That's when mine turns 2, too. I think we're in the same boat where we need to maybe start saying he's almost 2.
Yeah.
Because it's getting really, really
I just want to keep him a baby still, I think.
Yeah. Before we get into today's topic, I am joined now by Kelly Wilson from Alert ID, and they make a great app that's perfect for parents and families. So we're going to learn a little more about it. Welcome, Kelly.
Thanks for having me.
So tell me a little bit about your app. It's called Alert ID, and what led you to create it?
It originally started with a personal story, and I was in an amusement park in California with my three kids and my husband, and it was a very busy day, and we were separated from our kids for almost an hour. And any parent knows that panic, that terrifying feeling, and so thankfully, we were reunited with our kids, but at that time, I didn't have the necessary and updated information and photo and all that I really needed to be able to lead a search. So that spurred on the idea of how can we help children and families with lost and missing children. So Alert ID began originally as a way to help lost and missing children by creating a way online for families to be able to store this information. Well, in speaking to law enforcement across the country, they said, this is wonderful. It's revolutionizing child safety. However, can we expand it to include not only children, but families and communities and, you know, neighbors? And so we've been able to do that. So we created Alert ID, which is a free online and mobile service. And it allows you to see what kinds of events are happening in your neighborhood, whether it be crimes, sex offenders, and neighbors can share information with each other. They can share suspicious information. We have a platform for public safety that people can communicate, a social network, if you will. And then we created an app so that you can take this information with you wherever you go, whether it's no matter what state you're in. We're in all 50 states. So people can take the app and say, okay, I'm going to go to a different park, or we're traveling to a new area. How safe is this area? So they can look at the app and see what sex offenders are near this park. And you know what? I'm going to either keep my eye a little more open, or maybe I'll go somewhere else.
We went to a park the other day that was outside of our normal neighborhood, and I was surprised by how uneasy I felt being in a strange area and not knowing what was around and being out of the bubble. And it sounds like Alert ID could have really helped me with that and get me to feel a little more comfortable with the area, or less comfortable, if that's the case, maybe.
Well, you know, and I agree with you, and I think in this day and age, information is truly power. And the more that we know, the more that we can be empowered with information and know what's happening, the better we can protect our kids and work together as a community to, you know, to feel safer and to take care of our families.
Okay, so how exactly does it work? You download the app. It's free, like you said, and then you also have to create an account, and then what happens from there?
Right. Very easy. Again, as you mentioned, it is free. You just go to alertid.com. It takes less than a minute to create an account, and all it will ask you for is your name, and it will ask for your address, but it's all simply for geographic purposes, so that it will pull up a map of your neighborhood, but you can include other neighborhoods as well, maybe your child's school, your work, you know, areas you visit, grandma's house, and you'll be able to see what events have happened in that neighborhood with a map. You'll also be able to receive email and push notification alerts whenever something changes. For example, a sex offender moves into your neighborhood, you're going to be notified. Anything in the sex offender database for your state, whenever anything changes, you're notified as a member of Alert ID.
And yeah, and we've actually got a landing page just for Parent Savers, Boob Group, and Preggy Pals listeners. If you go to alertid.com/newmommy, you can sign up there. Does it matter if you sign up first and then download the app, or download the app and then sign up? Can you do it in either order?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. So is the information you're getting through Alert ID, is that something that you guys are putting out there, or is it coming straight from the source?
It comes straight from the source. We tie it directly into the state sex offender databases, and it's unfiltered. So whenever anything changes in a sex offender's profile, their address, their, you know, any physical traits that change, that will just go directly to our members in an alert. And we also have crime information in many, many cities across the country. Same thing, we tie directly into their CAD system, their dispatch system, so that that information goes directly to our members, to the citizens. You know, if there's a burglary that happens down your street, you're going to be notified. So, yeah, it's unfiltered, and we just, you know, we have a partnership with them, and we tie directly with them. Can I add one more thing that I wanted to share with
Absolutely.
Families about the app?
Yeah.
Wonderful. It's on our free app, and it's called My Family Wallet. And for those of us that, you know, really want to be prepared about protecting our kids, and it kind of goes back to the origin of Alert ID, you can put on My Family Wallet your most updated photo, demographic information, height, weight, that kind of thing, directly into the app on your smartphone, so that you are prepared in the case of being separated from your child, or if your child becomes lost or missing, because then you have the most updated information. And law enforcement is so grateful to have that, because 99% of the time, families aren't prepared. So I encourage you to not only become a member of Alert ID and download the app, but be prepared with the most updated information on your children, so that you are prepared and you can be reunited with your child if you're separated from them.
Great. Yeah, it's a really cool idea. It's amazing, I think, that this is a free service, something definitely I think all parents and families should have, and I'm glad that we're able to make them aware of it. Thanks for joining us, Kelly.
Thanks so much for spreading the word and protecting families.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic, and finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame, so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Today's topic is water safety. And so we have Maria Bernal, who is a certified ISR instructor.
Yes, that's good.
Right. But I'm excited to talk about this. I know that my three sons, we've done various swimming lessons with them, and something that they've been, grandparents especially, I feel like, are real nervous about with them by the pool. And it's something I think that all parents are really tuned into this topic. So hopefully we can have a really nice conversation about it. So what age, Maria, do you think water safety applies to? And I guess where I'm coming from this question is, how young are kids, or old are they, when they can reach the water? It's pretty young, right?
Yes. So water safety applies to every age. Babies, from infants to adults even. Adults also have to be very safe in the water. Nobody is drown-proof. So children can reach the water right when they start crawling. So we need to be aware of all the water hazards our home imposes, even, because we really never know when they will start to crawl. Mm-hmm. So we need to be safe before that. Also, when children have little brothers in the house, even when they're not crawling, they can reach the water because their little brother, or I mean their older brother, wanted to give them a bath. Or so actually, water safety applies to all ages.
Yeah, even when they can't even move, if there's older siblings around. Yeah,
exactly.
That's a good point.
And what ages do you think it's a good time to start swimming lessons, or introduce them to the water in a pool?
So the perfect age to start swimming lessons is 6 months, and right when they start sitting down by themselves. That just makes the process a little bit faster because their muscles are strong enough, so they'll complete the program faster. So right when they're 6 months, they are neurologically ready to start swimming lessons.
That's interesting. Because I feel like even with, like, water births, you see that, like, babies are ready for the water. Like, mm-hmm.
They have a natural, my understanding is they have a natural instinct.
There's a misconception. They really don't. They don't have a natural
instinct
to swim.
Yeah.
It's really, I'm not even sure where that came out to be, but.
Well, I think it's the fact that maybe they're in the water and they don't.
Yes, and they can
9 months.
Drown. And they so don't drown. We're explaining, like, what is it that we're seeing with the kid?
Yes, and they don't start out breathing right when they are born. So that's also a misconception. But they have no natural instinct of moving whatsoever. That is completely learned, like walking and mm-hmm. like riding a bike.
And so, yeah, it's almost dangerous if people think then
that
it's an instinct. Because
yes, I hope
think they can drop their 3-month-old in the pool and walk
away. I hope no parent does that. But
not that anyone would walk away.
Right.
But maybe, you know, maybe they are being a little more.
I'm sure somebody's done it somewhere in the world.
Right.
We started swim lessons with our daughter. Actually, I was a certified Red Cross instructor, and so I took her into the water at our community pool at 6 months, and she did really well. Mm-hmm. And then by the time she was 2.5 or 3, she started getting a real fear of the water. We didn't have the daily practice and things. We had the daily practice from 6 months to about 1.5 years. So how does that happen? Like, what happens there?
So
where she gets completely afraid and forgets everything.
So there's a really big difference between being apprehensive of something, anything, not even the water, and fear. Fears are learned. Mm-hmm. So if she had a fear of the water, she must have had a really bad experience with the water. Maybe somebody threw her in the pool when she wasn't expecting it. She was in a pool when it was really dark and she couldn't see anything. So a really, really bad experience with her. If she didn't, then maybe she was just apprehensive. It was something new. It's a completely new environment. She feels buoyant. She's wet. Maybe she's cold. Maybe she's too warm. So maybe that was just apprehension.
Yeah, and it was different because we took her in an ocean versus
okay.
a pool.
Yes, and then
so
the waves.
So I figured she was okay. Yeah. And yeah. Very calm ocean. It was the Atlantic. It wasn't here.
Okay.
It was a nice 80-degree water. But, I mean, waves coming at you is a lot different than a confined swimming pool at 80 degrees.
I get scared of the ocean, too.
Sure. Right? How big it is.
I'm sure she's seen the octonauts or maybe not, but maybe what's in the ocean,
sure,
too.
Sure, and she is precocious
sand.
Like that. That's a good point.
And then she also, at 2 years of age, you understand a little bit more about the world. So you know you can fall, and if you were carrying her and the waves were coming, and then the sand, so she knows
variables.
A little bit more than
Good, because I thought I was a bad mom.
No.
What is the AAP stance on water lessons for infants and toddlers?
So until a couple of years ago, the AAP changed its stance on water safety lessons for infants and for toddlers. They used to not recommend lessons, but then after a lot of research and finding out that water lessons actually can save lives and getting children skilled has saved a lot of children's lives, then now they have changed its stance and now they allow, or better said, they recommend lessons for infants and for toddlers.
And what age would they, is do they have a recommendation on what age you would start, or is it just based on the child?
It's based a lot on the child, but at 6 months is a great age to start, just because you want them skilled by the time they're mobile.
Okay. And what can we expect from a six-month-old or a one-year-old or a two-year-old?
So from a six-month-old to a 12-month-old, you can teach them how to roll over onto their backs and float. Okay. They can maintain that float for a couple of seconds or a couple of minutes, and that gives the parent or the caregiver precious time for them to find them in the water. Mm-hmm. And when they don't feel that an adult is present, then they start crying a little bit or whining, and that is great because the parent can hear them, that they're in the water. And then parents also can distinguish the cries and the whines from being in danger or being in the water or from just wanting something else. Mm-hmm. After 12 months, from 12 months to 6 year olds, then we can start teaching them our swim, float, swim sequence. What that is depending on their size and the strength of their muscles, they can swim a few feet, and then before they feel the need to breathe, they roll over onto their backs, just like the infants, and they rest, they breathe, they calm, and then they flip over again and continue swimming. They do this with their eyes open. That allows them to find a safe place in the water or get completely out of the water. Now, like a lot of cases, when children get in the water by accident in open water, let's say a sea or a lake, then there's no way out. Then there they can maintain their float for, again, a couple of seconds or a couple of minutes, or in some cases, even a couple of hours.
Jeez.
Yeah, a record is 4 hours, a student that had been floating for 4 hours in open sea.
Wow.
Oh, wow. And so we've kind of transitioned a little bit from talking about traditional swim lessons at the neighborhood pool into, is this what ISR is?
Yes, that's what Infant Swimming Resource teaches their students.
And the idea being that it's not so much about going to the pool and having fun with your kids.
Survival.
It's
survival.
Teaching them survival.
Exactly. Okay. Students do get to have fun because they're water savvy. You know, they're skilled, so they can get to enjoy the water. But we focus on safety and on getting them saved in case of an accident.
Yeah, that's amazing to hear about, you know.
I've totally seen videos of it. It's very cool.
Yeah, I feel like it's been going around online pretty recently. Yeah. It's the first time I've heard about the ISR, the videos that I've seen online.
I've been doing this for 5 years, and every video, every student that floats, I get goosebumps still. I'm like, when will this be over? I guess never. When you see a student floating and you know that he has a chance of surviving in case of an accident, it's just amazing. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so parents, if they want to learn these techniques, you're an ISR instructor. Like, where can you find that? Is there a central website to find it?
There is. It's infantswim.com.
Okay.
And there's an instructor locator and that homepage. We actually have instructors all over the world now, but we are always in need for more. You know, there's a lot of children in the world that are at risk, and we are always looking for more instructors.
We'll make sure that's on this week's episode page on the site as well. You mentioned other water sources earlier, you know, that is dangerous for kids. What are some other water sources besides pools, and are there any survival techniques for them too?
Thank you for that question, because it allows me to explain to parents that not only are pools a risk to children, but their homes as well. You need to be aware of all the risks that your home imposes. Children have drowned in toilets. They have drowned in sinks, in bathtubs. even in salsas. In like huge
big
tubs of salsa.
A cauldron of salsa.
Oh my gosh. I thought she said salsa.
That sounds amazing.
They drenched it. Well.
I mean, the cauldron of salsa, not right. The baby drowning in it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's crazy.
That is a surprise.
Yes, it's extremely sad. Parents of toddlers should really be aware that they need to keep their home safe. And by you do that by keeping always your bathtub completely free of water, emptying any pails that contain any type of liquid, not even water, but you shouldn't soak clothes in water and leave it unattended. When you're mopping, never leave that pail unattended, never leave an open can, and even never leave any toys that can catch rainwater outside. And then you just forget, you know, moms are we're always so busy and we can forget about things after a second. So we really need to focus on leaving everything without water on that exact second.
So you always hear the statistic, you know, a person can drown in X amount of water. What is it? Is it 1 inch? Is it less than an inch? Oh my gosh.
It's less than an inch because What if your child was getting into the bathtub that just had a very little amount of water, but he slips, he falls, he bumps his head, and he's unconscious, sure. and he's laying down. And then also children that can't crawl or can't roll over and they fall head down into muck or into something that contains a little bit of water, then he's breathing in that water and their lungs are so small, they drown in minutes.
We've got to take a quick break on that note, but when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about some specific tips for water safety, including the 5 keys for water safety that Maria is going to tell us about. Welcome back. We're talking about water safety basics with Maria Bernal. Let's jump right back into the conversation. And Maria, I saw on your website, and I think we've chatted briefly, but what are the 5 keys to water safety?
The first and most important one is proper adult supervision. And I should say a responsible adult supervision. So children, like I said, are never drown-proof, and the most important, the only thing that will keep them completely safe from drowning is adult supervision. That's the number one. Mm-hmm. Number two is gates. If you have a pool at home, you need to gate it. It's more difficult for them to reach it, and it takes them more time to reach the water if the pool or the water feature is gated and doesn't have easy access.
I know my in-laws, they have a portable fence where they don't have to have it up when we're not around, but then when we come into town, it's a really cool solution that I've seen where then they can put up a fence that's totally secure.
And it should be self-latching and more than 4 feet tall.
Yeah, yeah.
And never keep it open for any reason, especially when your kids are visiting.
Right.
Number three, of course, is getting them trained with swim skills, especially ISR skills. Then number four would be alarms. If you do have a pool or if you do have a water feature, you need all the doors and access, any access gates, any windows, any doggy doors to have alarms in case they open. You know, they sound and you can get to your child before he reaches the gate and then the water. Because children are very, very smart. You can never underestimate the power of a child's mind. And if he wants to get in the water, he will get in the water. So we can't watch children 100% of the time. That's just impossible. Even if number one is supervision, it's just impossible. So we need to have gates. We need to have them take longer to reach that water. And if they do, we need to have them skilled to survive. And if they're not, then that leads me to number five. Parents must learn CPR. It's a must. You know, it's just if there was a license to parent, CPR would be number one on the list.
So what do you think about flotation devices, like arm floaties or the flotation vest?
They are extremely, extremely dangerous. Mm-hmm. If you have any or if you know a parent that does, please urge them to destroy them. They, first of all, they create a false sense of security to the child. The child can't make that connection that they are swimming or that they are floating with the help of the flotation device. And it also gives a false sense of security to the parent. If you've ever gone to a public pool, you're most likely going to see children that have arm floaties or that have the swimsuits with the built-in floaties.
With the flotations, yeah.
And you're most likely going to see that the parent isn't paying that much attention to the child.
Right, because your child is safe. They think
because
they don't have
to. And you can't rely on a thing to keep your child safe. That's just not safe.
Yeah.
So the AAP and the Consumer Product Safety Commission doesn't allow them either. It deters against them.
And I know some public pools don't allow them.
Well, they shouldn't.
Some of the places that we've gone, they don't allow them.
And they don't allow them to do that.
Yeah.
That was definitely one of the surprising things, I think, for us when our first was taking swim lessons and learning about. Because I think as a non-parent or kind of getting into it, you assume, like, that's your image of a kid
swimming.
Yeah,
you just think, I'll put the floaties on them, I'll toss them in the pool, they'll be fine with their friends.
You
know, you'll be there, but that'll be the backup.
And unfortunately, most of them don't even work properly. Some of them will make the child swim with their head down.
Right. That's what I get nervous about.
And some of them even get off of the child before they even get. I've seen videos.
Yeah, if you don't inflate it properly, it starts deflating.
Or one deflates.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. However, we do recommend that if you're not planning on going in the water, but you're near the water, like a dock or a boat, adults and children alike should wear life vests, and they should be approved by the U.S. Coast Guard.
Is there a law that kids
I think if you're
age,
on the boat. She's even saying if you're on the dock, like you're at a lake or something.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Unfortunately, there isn't any law in place where the flotation device have to go through, you know, like cribs, that they have to go through a certain criteria for them to be able to sell them in stores. Well, not floaties or vests.
Just has to be a foam in a bag that floats.
So you do have to check your life vest before putting it on your child or yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
That makes sense. What is the key to surviving an aquatic accident? What do you think the main key, just the swimming skills or?
The key would be for the student to feel confident in his roll back to float. The child not only needs to learn to float, but he needs to feel confident that he can do it in any situation and wearing anything. By the end of the ISR program, we get our students in the water with regular clothes on, and they perform their skills first with summer clothes on, including diapers if they're still in it, shoes, anything they usually wear. And then the second day, we get them in with winter clothes because it can really the added amount of weight is almost double their body weight because their jeans, their shoes, their diaper is soaked in water. And it can really throw a child off for them not to be wearing their swimsuit, you know, their regular swimsuit. So they need to feel confident that they can perform their skills in any situation.
That's really good. I remember being young and taking swimming lessons and being asked to swim a distance that I don't know why, but I remember getting like really freaked out. And you sit up and you start panicking. And I remember the instructor just saying, roll over on your back and float. And I kept thinking, well, that's not going to get me to the other side. But, you know, I was like 5. I was really small. And I remember rolling over and floating and then them saying, okay, do you feel okay? And I said, yes. And they said, okay, swim. And then I started swimming. And that's something, you know, it wasn't specifically ISR, but that's something that over the years, you know, if I was ever out in the ocean or anything where I did kind of get panicked because I'm not the strongest swimmer, I would just say, well, at least I know I can float. And so that's something that stuck with me, just that one instructor taking that extra time to tell me that.
Yeah.
And that gave me the confidence that I, you know.
And it's good that you were able to practice it because verbal communication to a child is not as strong as muscle communication. So you were able to feel that float and you were able to feel yourself float. If he would have just said it out of the water, then maybe if you were in an accident, you wouldn't have felt as confident because you never practice it. And, you know, even Michael Phelps needs to learn how to float. You know, everybody will get tired eventually. So the key is their float and their confidence in their float.
Well, so as we wrap up the conversation, what are the most important things for parents to know about water safety, either in the house or in the pools? I remember, I think it was one of the first things you said that I thought, you know, really stuck with me throughout this whole conversation, is that nobody is drown proof. Even at our age, or like you said, Michael Phelps, like, it can happen to anyone. So what do you think are some important takeaways? If you had 2 minutes to tell parents, here's what you need to know.
I think the most important thing is floaties. Never get your children used to flotation devices. Okay. That also keeps them in a vertical position when the safe one is the horizontal one. Get them into ISR lessons as soon as they turn 6 months of age. Keep all your water features of your home gated. Empty every bucket, every pail, every sink, every bathtub, and get your older children involved as well. Let them know that it's not okay for them to get their little brother or little sister in the water without mommy. Never, ever leave your child unattended in the bathtub for even less than a second. If you're giving your child a bath, put away your phone, don't answer the door, don't go for a towel, don't get anything, just watch them.
How old do you recommend parents do that through? I mean, for example, my six-year-old now, I'm pretty confident in his swimming abilities, so we might, hypothetically speaking,
like, let him take his own bath.
He is really proud to, like, start it himself. I mean, is this more for kind of toddlers? Or,
you know what, I would say it's for everybody. Right. I remember my mom, when I was a teenager, she would always tell me, do not lock the door of the bathroom because I need to know that you're safe. And in case of an accident, I need to get access to you. So really, even, like I said, even adults, you need to be safe. Never close the door and let that heat or that vapor be in there, because then you can also faint. So again, not even adults are safe. So everybody needs to be aware. And also, before I forget, and it's really important, don't let your toddlers or your children below 13 years of age get into jacuzzis or hot tubs. Those are extremely dangerous. They will lower your blood pressure and their blood pressure really quickly, and they can faint. Also, the bubbles and the jets make it really hard to see underwater. So it's very dangerous for them, and they can even contract neurological damage or limb damage because the water is just too hot. For pregnant women as well, it can be dangerous to the fetus. So just stay away from hot tubs. Not even if they're cold, because then you're letting them know that it's okay for them to get in the hot tub. I get a lot of parents telling me, oh, you know, we don't keep it warm so he can go in. Well, yeah, but then you're allowing them to get in the hot tub. So how is he going to tell which one is okay and which one is not?
It's interesting. Yeah. Is it the warm water or some of the dangers with the hot tubs? Because what's the difference between a bath and a hot tub when you kind of have in warm water?
Well, bathtubs are always extremely hot, even hotter than bathtubs.
Hot tubs.
Yeah. And then also the jets and the water pressure and the water
the filtration system,
it'll suck you in. Yeah. And for little bodies, it'll be very hard for them to get detached from that. And like I said, the jets make it harder to see. So if your child is in the water, underwater, you won't be able to detect them because of all that movement.
Yeah. Hot tubs make me nervous.
Then they're also very dirty, you know. It's
the foam, right. They think that it's bubbles, like in a bubble bath on top, and that stuff is the gross stuff.
Yes.
Right? Like, you're like, look, I'm Santa Claus, and you're like, oh.
Definitely a breeding ground for germs and all type of diseases.
Yeah, but those filtration systems, I remember hearing some really bad stories when I was growing up, about especially girls getting their hair caught.
It's one of my nightmares.
Yeah. Absolutely. I grew up with a pool, and that's a big. There's a lot of hair in that filter.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Well, because so you have to stay away from them. It's very scary.
And there's a law now that helps that out, but still, it's still very dangerous.
All right. There's obviously a ton of stuff to talk about with water safety. I mean, we talked about swim lessons, pools. This was hopefully a helpful conversation for our listeners. I know I enjoyed it here. We're going to continue it a little bit after the show for our Parent Savers Club members. We're going to talk a little about pool toys and maybe a little more about the salsa incident because it's fascinating. So thanks so much for joining us, Maria.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a great experience.
Before we wrap up today's show, here's blogger David Vienna sharing the realities of parenting from his blog, The Daddy Complex.
Hi, Parent Savers. This is The Daddy Complex. I'm David Vienna, father of twin boys, and if my experience has taught me anything about parenting, it's that I know nothing about parenting. That vintage 1976 wool rug that you discovered at the thrift store? Roll it up. That limited edition Army of Darkness figurine of Ash complete with chainsaw hand? Pack it away. The antique chairs your parents passed down to you in the hopes that they would one day be passed on to their grandchildren? That succession stops with you, unless splintered chairs are the new trend. Childproofing your home protects your kids, but I defy you to find a way to protect your home or anything else from your kids. Which is why it's best if you just stop getting upset about damage done, and maybe, if something needs to be replaced, get the cheap version. It'll get damaged again. Last year, we purchased a new minivan. We love it. It makes it super easy to haul around two toddlers, a dog, and whatever groceries, luggage, jetpack prototypes we may have. And don't get me started on the sound system. Anyway, I don't know when the newlywed title of new car officially wears off, but the bit I'm about to relay happened at about the 3-month mark, and 3 months is by no means old. It still had that new car smell. One holiday weekend, as we drove north for a visit with the grandparents, our son Wyatt got a tickle in his throat, coughed twice, then projectile vomited a bottle's worth of milk all over the back of the passenger seat and inside the door and the floor mats and his car seat. Just to offer a little turning of a knife, he wasn't even sick. He just coughed too hard and then did an impression of a dairy fountain. So just 3 months after we purchased the minivan, I had to shell out a chunk of change to have the thing detailed. But because I already accepted that everything we have is subject to destruction by the boys, I wasn't upset. It's just part of raising a toddler, or in my case, two incredibly destructive toddlers. There's simply no way around it. Your children will destroy stuff. There are entire blogs dedicated to this truism. So getting mad about it proves about as useful and worthy as screaming at the moon. And once your tot shoves a peanut butter and jelly sandwich into your new Blu-ray player, if you don't keep some perspective, you'll go stark raving mad and do just that. Check out more of my terrible advice at thedaddycomplex.com, The Huffington Post, or on Twitter at thedaddycomplex. You can also view episodes of Fighting with Babies, my puppet web series for parents, at thedaddycomplex.com/FWB. And be sure to keep listening to Parent Savers for more fatherly tips.
That wraps it up for today. We appreciate you guys listening to Parent Savers. Thanks to everyone in studio for joining us. Thanks to my wife for letting me come in and record these episodes, watching the kids. Listeners, don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals, for expecting parents, and our show, The Boob Group, for moms who are breastfeeding their babies still. On next week's Parent Savers, we're going to be talking about another interesting topic for parents that everyone is kind of exposed to, and that's tummy time. This is Parent Savers, empowering new parents.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hey mamas, don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.